We'd like to thank our friends at PwC for their support, partnership, and collaboration in making Retail Gets Real. Learn more about how PwC helps retailers at pwc.com.
You know, I continue to think, you know, winners on the experience front, head and shoulders above most people, is Sephora. And it's because you are allowed to touch product, allow somebody to apply product. It's an experience. When you walk through that door, it's not just, I'm here to buy a lipstick. It is to be part of a beauty experience. And I'm seeing that more and more retailers are trying to figure out how to take what they do best and layer on an experience.
Welcome to Retail Gets Real, where we talk with retail's most fascinating leaders about the industry that impacts everyone, everywhere, every day. Today, we're chatting about retail in 2020 with Susan Retta, editor of NRF Stores Magazine. Susan will make some predictions about what trends we'll see in the coming year and what will be making headlines this time next year. For today's episode, I'm joined by my friend, my colleague, and my co-host, Jen Overstreet. Hello, Jen.
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be talking about the future today.
Talking about the future. The future is soon. I mean, it's coming up fast. And our guest, Susan Retta. Hey, Susan.
Hey, Bill.
Thank you so much for being here.
It's great to be here. I look forward to this.
I look forward to seeing the crystal ball. So, Susan, you know, retail, I don't think there is an industry that changes as quickly and as unpredictably as retail. So really kind of looking forward, that's not easy to do. I mean, when you think of all of the things that are happening in this industry and how it's evolving and changing.
You know, when I first started putting together my list of predictions, I thought, oh gosh, this is, you know, I was really up to about 25 at one point. And then you start to see that they mesh and blur together. But there are just so many moving parts and so many balls in the air right now that it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out.
Well, let's get to it. How about it, Jen?
All right. So we should explain that, Susan, every year you write an article at the end of the year for Stores Magazine predicting the trends that we'll see over the following year. What was your top lead piece this year for 2020?
The number one prediction was about resale or re-commerce. Those terms are kind of used interchangeably. We just continue to see the consumer's appetite be absolutely voracious for this idea. You know, there's so many businesses that have now sprung up around this idea, but I think watching very closely what ThredUp has done, this is a relatively new business, but just in the last 6 months, they have announced partnerships with so many traditional retailers, embracing and understanding that we now have a consumer that isn't about packing the closet full of stuff, but is trying to understand what is most meaningful to purchase, what is going to last a little bit longer, and how to sort of jettison what was already there that maybe, you know, we all have those things that we purchased, and too often it's hanging there with a tag on it because you thought you were going to lose weight or you thought it was going to look better and it just didn't work.
It didn't get cold enough.
No.
No, it is really surprising to me. I mean, how many times I will pull something out and I'll be like, I've never worn that.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, it's kind of one of those spur of the moment. Oh, you know, that would, I need one of these. And then you put it on the shelf. You completely forget about it. You pull it down and you're like, I've never taken the tags off of this.
Right. Right.
Ridiculous.
Are you putting rental in that category as well?
I would definitely put rental in that category and luxury consignment. So think about The RealReal, another relatively new business on the retail landscape. And their business is focused on luxury. And so their inventory is, their biggest challenge is that their inventory is sitting in people's closets and people are reluctant to give up that designer item that they only wore once, but they paid a fortune for. But once people get into that rhythm of, you know what, I can jettison this from my closet, I can make some money on it. Oh, and then I can take those dollars and go back in and buy somebody else's designer item that they only wore once or twice. And if you're in that frame of mind and you're purchasing designer goods, you're really not wearing them as often as I would wear that Gap shirt that I bought.
you think about this idea, the runway kind of idea. Tuxedo shops have been doing that for years.
It's true. But theirs was a very unique niche. And honestly, let's be honest, that's where Rent the Runway began. But what they have learned about their customer and how their customer has come along with them in understanding that, particularly here in the New York area, if you have a small closet, you can't afford to keep putting, you can't afford and you don't have the space to load it up with lots of stuff. And so by routinely being part of a subscription program that allows you to have four or five new items a month, and if you really fall in love with it, you can also purchase it. Rent the Runway has really taught a lot of people about rental, and it has helped so many people over that hurdle of, ooh, I don't know, somebody else wore it.
Yeah.
I really think the people who feel that way are more in the minority now than the majority, where 5 years ago, it would have been very different.
Obviously, they didn't have brothers and sisters where you got hand-me-downs. So, Susan, the other thing that we talk a lot about, is the experience, the store experience, the experiential opportunities that the Gen Zs or the millennials are looking for. What does 2020 look like as it relates to how stores are going to address this and the winners and the losers?
I continue to think, winners on the experience front, head and shoulders above most people, is Sephora. And it's because you are allowed to touch product, allow somebody to apply product. It's an experience. When you walk through that door, it's not just, I'm here to buy a lipstick. It is to be part of a beauty experience. And I'm seeing that more and more retailers are trying to figure out how to take what they do best and layer on an experience. And I think that's really an important part, because you can't drop in an experience that doesn't meet with the context of your business. I continue to think experience is important, but I'm less in favor of Instagrammable moments. It could be where I'm at, but I just find that it's not important in the scheme of things. I am starting to see that we're less impressed by influencers, that social media is being used a little bit differently. And so an Instagrammable moment is not necessarily in the ball pit. It just is different. But in terms of retail experiences, again, I had the chance to visit the new Vitamin Shoppe flagship store. And so the chance to find out all the metrics about your body in terms of your fat context, it was really disturbing in some ways, but that's okay. You also had the chance to sit down with someone and talk about your lifestyle and then be recommended a certain amount of vitamins and supplements that would help support that. And then they were telling you what would work best for you. You had the option to change it. They captured it online, and then they could automatically send that to you on a subscription basis. Like, that's when it all comes full circle. Like, I was in the store, I kind of touched the product, somebody explained it to me, because in that world of supplements and vitamins where you're kind of like, I don't know, do I really? Somebody talks you through it, and then you make your final decision, and lo and behold, then you're interacting with that retailer once a month.
How does that work? I mean, I would think they would have to have 500 employees so that every customer that walks in can have that experience. I mean, how did they figure that out?
I guess that's a deeper question for Vitamin Shoppe. But the way I experienced it was a couple of tablets that were set up, and they call their associates health enthusiasts. So you had the chance to interact with a health enthusiast. This is not the kind of thing where you're going to have tons and tons of traffic. You may go in and out of that store three or four times before you make that commitment to say, like, I'm going to share. I'm going to tell you that I'm at that age where I'm, worried about menopause. And then somebody's going to say, hey, you and thousands of other women. Let me tell you what's available. So it takes you some time to get over that hurdle to make that contact. But once you do, I think that having it online and then being able to go back in to see what they captured about you and alter it as you change, this is the future of retail. This is when you interact physical online and it all comes together.
One of the points that I really like that you made in your article about experience is that a lot of times more and more we think about experience as being like, oh, they brought some new technology into the store and you can interact with it and that's a cool experience. But the point that you made that I really liked was about how you thought experience more and more will be about retailers investing in their staff, retailers investing in talent, and that human interaction you had is just as important as whatever whiz-bang
device
they had that told you that.
Why do I love when someone says, let me try this exfoliating cream on you, and you watch your skin like bubble up and roll off, and you're like, oh, that's so gross. I love it. Do it again. It's just, I had the opportunity to visit the new Nordstrom store that just opened on the West Side. And one of the, it's simple brilliance inside their every fitting room is a button that you can just press and interact with an intelligent sales associate and tell them what the issue is. The size isn't working for me. I think I need another color. Those are the kind of things where that's the interaction I want. That's the experience that's going to lift the brand and my brand loyalty and I think that works for most customers.
You mentioned health products, and one of the hottest, if not most talked about health, and I'm using air quotes on that, product right now is CBD. Lots of conversation, lots and lots and lots of conversation around CBD. What are you seeing as it relates to, health, wellness, and CBD?
You know what? I think wellness is probably one of the most important themes for the next few years in retail. And I think it crosses CBD for sure and personal products. It also touches on the fitness and how we're interacting with fitness brands. Wellness is a theme that we just keeps popping up over and over in retail. And it's not just, again, I'll go back to the new Nordstrom store. It's not just beauty that they have available, but there's a whole floor where you can go to the Heyday Spa. You can have Kate Somerville Injectables, the first department store to do injectables.
Stop. What is an injectable?
So I
want to know what an injectable is.
So Botox.
Oh, okay.
So, but there are obviously so many different forms of Botox. And so, yes, they will administer on site. There's a nail bar.
You don't have to see that, do you?
No, there are small rooms in the back.
All right, because needles built, pass out. That would be a grand experience at a Nordstrom's.
But, anytime that you can, find yourself thinking about wellness differently, and I think grocery stores are starting to think about how to position they're selling the products that we think of as enabling wellness, but up until now, they didn't really do a great job of telling us that this is what it was, and we're starting to see that come around, so.
The one thing that I read about the new Nordstrom was that they, you can literally ask an associate for a drink and they'll bring it to you.
They will bring it to you.
That is brilliant.
Yes.
I will actually spend time in a store, like a drink, like a martini or wine. They have bars in there.
Hmm. Yeah, in the shoe area, there is a shoe bar.
That is
it's fantastic. Brilliant on so many levels.
It is. Because
how many women just say like, oh, I just want to, women love shoes.
We're talking about wellness right now, but we're talking about
we are.
Well, you mentioned Nordstrom and all the wellness stuff. And on top of that,
yes,
on the other end of the spectrum, they have.
It can be calming. Like CBD products can be calming. CBD is just everywhere. It's in drinks. It's in personal products. But people are talking about infusing it into fabrics.
It's the Wild West of CBD.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, we've wrestled with it at NRF because a lot of the CBD companies or companies that are making CBD also are in the medical marijuana or where it's legal in the marijuana business, edibles, things of that sort. And so if you, and that's still a Schedule I narcotic. Mm-hmm. So if CBD, which Congress, because of the Farm Bill, they've now legalized it to some degree, but some of the states need to take some action. Bottom line is it's a huge mess. And getting it all sorted out, I think it's going to take a while. But at the end of the day, if you want CBD, you can get CBD. Mm-hmm. There's no problems with it. Mm-hmm.
And the consumer seems to be embracing it.
Yeah, they do. So one other thing, I liked your lead-in to the section where you talked about blurred lines. Retail won't be boxed in. Nice pun.
Yes.
Very well done.
I continue to see that retail. When it was announced a few months ago that Latote had purchased Lord & Taylor, I mean, did everybody just jaw drop? Wait a second, what's that about? And I think even reading the press release, I was still a little confused. But you know what? When I look at what I believe Lord & Taylor was always to me, the dress address, and I look at Latote's business and the opportunity for them to take rental opportunity, dresses that have hung around too long in inventory, but suddenly they can make them available on a rental basis. There's something there. There's something going on. But, for a while we have talked about restaurants and coffee shops and food of some sort in a retail space. I continue to think that's important because I think, again, you're out, you're shopping, you're with loved ones, friends, significant others, whoever it is, you just want to enjoy the whole experience. And so I think that is part of the blurred lines. But we're just, you rarely go into any establishment now and don't have the opportunity to purchase something that, I'm trying to remember all of the pieces of blurred lines, but I truly believe that everything is changing. Now, we talked a little bit about, look at McKinsey & Company. Now, here's a company that we know for consulting for Fortune 500 companies, and suddenly they're going to dabble in retail. So they're going to try out looking at some of the interesting brands and open a shop in Mall of America and watch what's happening with brands. Study the consumer, study the brands.
Okay, let me make sure I understand this. McKinsey is opening stores?
Yes,
they are. They opened the first one in Mall of America. It's called Modern Retail Collective.
Wow.
And it is to collect data, right?
It's a watch and see how this all turns out.
That's really if you're going to be consulting retailers on what's going to work for them, you might as well try it yourself and see what works for you, mm-hmm. and then try to apply that to, their experience. So that's pretty smart.
We had an interesting piece in stores a while back. It's very common for us to hear. I know we've talked to Rachel Sheckman at Story, and she used to bring in a whole bunch of folks, and they would present their products, and she would choose the best of the best to showcase them in her store. Well, other retailers are starting to figure out how they can make that work for themselves. And there's a grocery retailer on the West Coast called Gelson's. And so they decided to invite some folks in and see what you've got. One of the companies that rose out of the first group of people who presented was a family that does their own salsas. And they were so good that guess what? They're now on the shelf at Gelson's. And I think you just have to keep saying, how can I engage the community? How can I do things differently? And people will come through your store because you've done things different in retail and thought outside of the traditional box.
Right.
One of the final predictions I made was about live commerce. Oh boy, this one just goes to show you that while retailers have chased a global consumer for a long time, it didn't need to be that hard. So I had dinner with someone who is a general manager at Costco. And I brought this up and I said, is live commerce actually happening in your stores? And he said, yes. So live commerce is
Thank you. I was like, wait, what is that?
Typically, it is a young Asian woman who will come into the store using just her cell phone and a selfie stick and begin selling product. So at Costco, she might come in and it would typically be center store. So she's got puffer jackets and she's now online and consumers in China are looking at her feed because she's established herself as someone who's a curator of product and she starts selling product. So in Costco, the jacket might be $49.99. She's selling it for more than that. And as she's selling, her dad is taking product off the shelf, I kid you not, so that they can meet the demand and fill all the orders. And then when it's done, it's done. This can happen in 20 minutes.
I've never heard of that.
I've not
either. Okay, so it's happening as we speak at stores here in the New York area. And one of the retailers is Century 21, and they're working with a particular company. And she has become so popular and is generating so much business that they have designated someone to work directly with her to be sure product is available to move.
That's fascinating.
It is incredible. I mean, I can see it and I can see how it could work. And so the stores actually work with the person that is doing.
Initially, can you remember 4 or 5 years ago, if you went into a store with a camera, they were like, excuse me.
Right.
Can you please exit? Right. You know, and now it's kind of like, this is interesting. Well, and the gentleman I was talking to from Costco said they actually alert this woman when they know something's coming in because it's an opportunity to move a lot of product quickly.
Wow. There's just a level of brilliance in that, but wow.
Here we are spending all this money on store environments and someone comes in with a cell phone and a selfie stick and sell.
So I'm going to conclude this with this question, if I may.
Sure.
Which is, I was asked this question several years ago, like 7 years ago, about 3D printing and how that's going to impact retail. We had the opportunity to sit down with one of the founders of Ministry of Supply, and they definitely are using 3D. How is that evolving going into 2020, do you think? Maybe even to the next decade.
You know, it's hard for me to say it from a consumer point of view, because I still think we're a long way off from consumers having the type of printer in their home where they can print product. But where I'm seeing it have the biggest impact right now and where I think it will continue to change retail over the course of the next few years is on the supply chain side. Because using 3D printing can cut out a whole lot of samples that went back and forth. And it takes technology to a whole different level. It takes out all of the complexity. It makes it more convenient, more efficient. And in an age where the point of producing a product to getting it on the shelf continues to condense, I think 3D printing is going to make a big difference.
Very interesting. I can't imagine that we'll be seeing 3D printing in many homes because Ministry of Supply, they've shut down one of the busiest streets in Boston in order to have the 4,000-pound 3D printer put into their store location. So I don't think it's going to happen for a while. So with that, Susan, as you are very much aware of, we have a segment of this program that we call Rapid Fire.
One of our favorite segments on Retail Gets Real is Rapid Fire, thanks to our sponsor, PwC.
Now, this is easy, as you know.
Yeah,
we're going to ask you a question, and then you're just going to answer with the first thing that comes to mind.
Okay.
And you should have it popping right into your mind very, very quickly because you've asked some of these questions in the past. Lead us off, Jen.
Ahead of the holidays, what is your favorite holiday tradition?
Oh, it's definitely all around Italian food.
Mm. Mm.
Well, since you're Italian, is it beer or wine?
Wine, for sure.
All right.
Favorite dessert?
Ice cream. I'm a total ice cream person.
What was the last magazine you read?
Stores. No, honestly, I last night I was reading Real Simple.
Real Simple.
So,
who's someone you would like to trade places with for a day?
Oh, that's a great question.
Just one day.
You know, somebody like not necessarily Ellen DeGeneres, but somebody in that role who gets to sit down with celebrities and chat.
Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah, there we go.
That would be a good one. So, Susan, one thing as an Italian, what's the one thing always in your refrigerator?
Oh, Jesus, multiple Jesus.
What is your least favorite buzzword 2019?
Oh, that's a good one.
Good question.
Oh, my least favorite buzzword.
Of 2019.
This year.
That would be hard because there's just one that, you know, I carry with me all the time.
Apocalypse. Don't like that word. Don't even think it's buzzy by any means.
Yeah, I'm totally with
you. What about you, Bill? How would you answer that question?
Well, it's the common thing. I just, in any time that anybody uses the word synergy, I completely lose respect. Everything that they've said prior to that just doesn't matter anymore. And if they say after that, I just leave.
I mean, did I use that word?
I can't stand that word. I don't know why. I just can't. Anyway, Susan, where are we going to find your story?
It is... the cover story of the December issue of Stores, and Stores has stores.org, www.stores.org is our website.
And we'll post a link on retailgetsreal.com as well.
Perfect.
Susan, thank you so much. You're very insightful. You're brilliant.
Thank you for having me.
You've got a real feel for the industry, and we really appreciate you taking the time to give us some of your thoughts about 2020.
Thank you very much.
Jen, as usual, thank you for being my co-host.
Quite welcome.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
Not surprised. And thank all of you all out there for listening to another episode of Retail Gets Real. You can send your feedback and episode ideas to podcast@nrf.com. Thanks for listening. This has been Retail Gets Real.